Good afternoon. Greetings to all. Good to be here. I'm sure you've heard a lot. I was thinking as we were singing that last song there, I'm not sure if it's a good thing or not to be the last session, the last speaker. I know people get a little bit perhaps weary in some of these things, but I just hope you can revive yourself enough that we can spend some good time here together and perhaps glean a few things from God's Word and give you some thoughts from my experiences of homeschooling these last 22 or 23 years now, I think it is, in this area of developing character in homeschool. And one of the things that Brother Matthew said in the last session kind of goes along with really the title, and it is important, and that homeschool, as he said, is kind of like, you know, having a set of tools. And one of the things that is necessary to be tweaked and worked on and corrected and fixed in your children is their character. Because if your children are like my children, they're not born into this world with the right character, are they? Character, good character, godly character, right character doesn't just happen because they have, you know, the last name Martin or Leiby or Yoder or Smith or Stoltzfus or whatever. It just doesn't go that way, does it? Children are the way they are. The Bible would even say they are born lying from the womb and they're born in sin. And in sin I was conceived, David said. And so our children have in them character flaws, we could say. Flat spots, weak spots, things that aren't developed right, things that aren't the way they should be. And homeschooling is a wonderful, wonderful, perhaps I could say one of the most, if not the most, important tool you can have to work on the character in your children. I'd also like to say at the beginning here that Matthew kind of asked this question in a way about why do you homeschool? And I just had this week, actually, a homeschooling father who has not been homeschooling very long, I think perhaps only a year or two, I'm not sure, say to me, I really do want to have a vision for homeschooling, but I don't know how to get one. And I said, well, just wanting one is a pretty good beginning. But if you want a practical thing, and I think Matthew mentioned this, but I just want to re-emphasize it. I said, just get down with a piece of paper and write down why you want to homeschool. And then write down, when your children are 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, what is your vision for them? What do you want them to act like? How do you want them to think? How do you want them to see the world? How do you want them to, what sort of reputation or name do you want them to have in the church, in the community? We know that the Bible says a good name is to be more desired than silver and gold. And what, you know, what, we don't just raise children to raise children. We all have somewhere in us, don't we, ideas of how we think our children are going to turn out, don't we? You know, well, what are some of those ideas? So I just suggest to him, write those down in a way that is your vision for homeschooling. You know, that's your vision for homeschooling. And I don't think that needs to be anything that we need to write down, we need to be overwhelmed about, but it is important that we do it. And part of that statement that you write down, and I hope some of you will as you think through this, is to actually think through the character you want your children to have. What kind of character do you want to have? And what characteristics or what of the characteristics of character you want them to have in their life will they show forth to the world? You know, as a boy, I was not raised in a Christian home. But I will have to say, God bless my father. He was a man of tremendous character. And he understood the value of having certain things in your life of character. And he taught it in the daily forge of life. You know, he just knew that in the anvil of life, as things come along, you just teach those things as they happen. I was one of those boys at age 10, 11, and 12 that lacked a lot in direction and character. I was inherently always looking for the way out of things. I was always looking for the easier way. I was not always interested in working as hard as I could. I was interested in just taking it easy and kind of gliding through whatever it was, school. And unfortunately, in school, I got away with it. My grades were always very good, but I was probably the worst student in the class because my character wasn't right. My dad saw all those things, and he knew those things needed to be in my life. He knew that my character was coming out, and he knew somehow it seemed like that my values, what I thought was important, was wrong. And he realized that that wrong value in my life was going to lead to wrong actions and a wrong way of living life the rest of my life. I remember the first time this began to come up on my head, I was 10. I think it was the summer I was turning 11. We just finished building a new house about 10 miles away from where I grew up. And as we finished the house, one of the things that happened, we had a driveway poured there. And when the driveway was poured, the way the contractor, the excavator did it, he left a low spot right beside the driveway that I'm assuming obviously he didn't intend to do. And it started to collect water and get wet there and get all soppy. And the grass hadn't started to take root. And my father asked me, how long did I think it would take me to dig a 40-foot long ditch, 3 foot wide, to act as a drainage ditch? And I looked at it and I figured in my mind, maybe a day. So I told my dad, a week, you know. And so he said, okay, you've got a week. Will you be done in a week? I said, I'll be done in a week. He said, okay, you can have a week. Well, the first day I went out there, I began to plan how this job could be accomplished with some kind of machine or something, of course, that I didn't have access to at age 11. But in my mind, I could see something coming there and doing the work in like a half an hour. And I began to think, well, how can I do this? And then I thought, could I convince my friends to come help me? And I dreamed and I schemed, but at the end of the day, I'd only dug 1 foot. So that's day one. My dad came home from work. He never said a word. I thought he would. I thought this is very strange behavior from my father. But I thought, well, that's okay. He realizes I have a week, so there's nothing to worry about. Well, unfortunately, the days go on like that pretty much every day. I even thought in the back of my mind, surely my mother will take mercy on me and hire somebody to come do this, because this is an impossible task, obviously, for an 11-year-old boy to dig this by hand with just a shovel. I mean, the dirt is heavy and it's clay and it's thicker than I thought. And again, all these excuses in my 11-year-old scheming brain. And I was actually beginning to be offended at my mother for not figuring a way out of my problem. And by the end of the week, I think I'd made it 3 or 4 feet, because I'd spent most of the time fussing at myself or at my mother or the situation. Well, my father came home on the last day. He went out to look at my work, to inspect the job, and he didn't say a word. He went into the tool shed, got a shovel, and he just started digging. He never said a word. He just started digging. One shovelful at a time. Each shovelful was like a knife in my heart. And I sat there for an hour. He never said a word, and I never said a word for an hour. And finally, I couldn't stand any longer. I said, Dad, give me the shovel! He said, no. Not unless you're going to finish what you started. And I said, I will. He said, okay. how much time do you want? And I said, one day. He said, you can finish it in a half a day, but I'll give you a day. And I finished it. But what he later told me was, he said, son, it wasn't about the ditch. He said, I know you and you like to procrastinate. You like to put things off. He said, the job should only take you about 5 or 6 hours, maybe. Even an 11-year-old, because he said the dirt isn't that hard and it's not that far. He said, your problem is you think too much and you worry too much and you're trying to get out of it. And you need to understand that the steady work, perseverance, will get the job done. And so it was in that forge of life, in that anvil of real life, that my dad began to teach me some values that are actually very much a blessing in the Christian life. You know, in the Christian life, I have learned that steady plodding brings forth the gain. And I've learned that those that endure and persevere to the end, they shall overcome. You know, one of the most wonderful characteristics of a Christian is just steadfast holding on and never giving up. And my father was trying to teach me to never give up. And if you've ever read the book of Hebrews, the basic message of the whole book is never give up. Never give up. Just keep going on. And so character is very, very important in real life situations. So when you write down your goals, one of the primary goals you should have in this arena of homeschooling is to instill and develop character in your children. Character, let me just try to give you a little bit of a definition as I understand. I didn't look this up. This is just something that I've just observed in years of child rearing, and this may not work in everything, but it seems to work with in the home, and that is this. Character is those qualities and attributes a person has that distinguishes him and shows forth what he really is and what he really values to be right and proper action in any given situation. Shall I read that again? Character are those qualities and attributes a person has that distinguishes him and shows forth what he really is and what he really values to be right and proper action in any given situation. Another way to say it that I heard long ago, and I don't remember where, I'd give the person credit, they said character is doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason, even if you do not feel like doing it, and even if no one is watching. You ever heard that before? Character is doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason, even if you do not feel like doing it, or even if no one is watching. That's a pretty good goal, isn't it, for our children? You know, I'll maybe make a little application on character, Brother Myron, to your thought on academics, which I, like Brother Matthew, agree with everything you said about academics. And that is this. We have 11 children in our home. We have the whole range of spectrum of abilities from a mental standpoint. Some have IQs that are too high, much, much higher than even mine, and some IQs are low enough that the school people would tell you, you know, they're so limited learning-wise, we're not sure if they're going to, you know, make it very far. Interestingly enough, when we encountered that in school, at first, Helen and I weren't sure how to handle that from an academic standpoint. And so at first, we tried real hard with all sorts of systems and all sorts of different academic tricks, but it didn't work too good on the ones that had the lower mental abilities than the ones that had the real high ones. And then we thought, okay, we must be going about it wrong. And so we prayed about it. And what we decided to do is we were going to actually focus not on academics with them, but on their character. And we focused on it and focused on it and focused on it. And you know the interesting thing that happened, Brother Myron? The ones that had, I'm thinking of two in particular, that had the lowest mental ability ended up being the best students we ever had. Even the ones that had the IQs that are off the chart weren't near as good as academic students. Meaning their study habits, their getting to the classroom and being ready and having everything there and getting through their lessons and all those things, their academics were model, as model students, you know, always responding rightly. And so we learned that, and parents can learn too, I agree with Brother Matthew on that, we learned that by stressing with those character into their life, it actually amplified the academic so that those that maybe weren't very, quote, good at schoolwork actually became good at schoolwork through the avenue of character. Isn't that interesting? And because in our family, maybe it's, well, in your family, not all the children are the same. But they can all be taught character. And character can help those flat spots that may be in their life or your life or whatever. And so the two, I guess what I'm trying to say, Brother Myron, and all of you I know agree with me, is the two complement each other. Academics, yes. Not just for academic sake, but academics are needed. But if you have right character, the academics won't suffer. You'll actually only amplify those, because then as their character progresses, they'll learn that they need to study and should study and want to study, and it'll change how they look at school. Okay, so those are just some thoughts about developing character in the homeschool. And there are an endless possibility of Christian characteristics or character that we could talk about, qualities and so on. And as I thought about this a little bit, I thought I might take somewhat of a different approach than is usually done. Usually, during a session like this at homeschool seminars and whatever, they would list 7, 8, or 9, Christian characteristics or Christian character qualities that are pretty normal, whether it's diligence, perseverance, honesty, hard work, those sort of things. And all of those are very, very, very important. But I'm not going to look at those. I'm going to look at some that maybe you wouldn't think of as being on your list. And I guess the only reason I'm doing this is just to show you that there's a whole range of things you can look at that you can call Christian character qualities or character qualities that you would like to instill and put into the life of your children, and how to think your way through doing that and getting them into the life of your children. The other thing I want to do as I go through a few of these is I want to think about the world and its belief system. You know, the world has its way of believing and thinking about situations that come into life. And your children and my children don't just homeschool and they don't just sit in church. They actually go out into the world, don't they? Whether it's to the store or to witness or to work or to conduct business or whatever it is. And so understanding how the world looks at things and reacts to things is also very important. And it forms, and part of their character is important in understanding how the world works. So I want to consider those things and sort of compare and contrast the way the world looks at a certain character quality and the way we as Christians look at it. The first Christian character quality I want to look at is, I'll sort of call it this, it's the right balance, or the biblical balance, of joy and sobriety. Of joy and sobriety. Turn to Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11. It says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And then over in Psalm 35:9, the Bible says, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation." Did you know that nowhere in the Bible does the Bible speak about a happy Christian? It talks much about joy, though, in the life of a Christian, doesn't it? About a person who is part of the kingdom of God. Happiness depends upon things, happenings, and events. Joyfulness is not truly touched by external conditions of what's happening. It's an inner state of being, and therefore it is a Christian character to have joy. Now, let's think about the world for just a minute. You know, the world is interesting in how it handles this area of joy. The world either has... The world seems to always be on two extremes. I don't know if you ever noticed this. But the world is either joking, hilarious, mocking, teasing, using humor in strange ways and calling that happiness, or the world is very sad and morose and upset about the simplest everyday things. You know, I'm in a business where what I sell, frankly, nobody really needs. I'm sometimes not sure about that as a Christian. I mean, nobody really needs, you know, a gazebo. Nobody really needs a swing set. I mean, they're nice to have, but they're not needs. But I have customers that if it doesn't come just exactly when they thought it should come, I mean, I have grown men and women cry sometimes and just get so sad and, oh, I don't know if I can make it through the week because the swing set didn't come. I mean, there's something wrong with that thinking, you know. There's something wrong. And yet the same people, you know, laugh and tell hilarious jokes, they think, and stories and laugh about the silliest things that aren't even funny. And so the world just doesn't seem to understand joy. But you need to teach your children that joy is, the fullness of joy is in God. Did you notice in both of the verses I read that they had to do with having God in you and you being in God? And so as we're working with our children, we do want to teach them to be sober. We do want to teach them sobriety and when to be serious, and that the life is not a joke, as the world makes fun and makes jokes about everything. And yet we have joy because we have joy in God. And our happiness is not dependent upon somebody telling a joke or whether our swing set comes on time, but our joy is in God. And that is our anchor and our rock in life. So that's a Christian character quality that I feel like is important in this world. Because if you watch the world, you will not see any of this modeled out in a right way. The next one I want to look at is the Christian character quality of what I would call stability and soundness of mind. Stability and soundness of mind. Turn to Psalms 42. Verse 5. Psalm 42, verse 5. This is the Christian character quality of stability and soundness of mind. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. And then in the New Testament, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7 says, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. It is such a blessing in this world to teach your children the Christian character quality of stability and a sound mind. You know, this world, people, in this world, as you compare and contrast it with the world, the world is becoming less stable all the time mentally. Have you noticed that? Mental hospitals are at all-time high record, and they're building new ones left and right. And the world has a sense of instability and not having a sound mind. Even in children, the fastest growing group of people that are on drugs for depression and mental instability in America are preschoolers. They're the fastest growing group. In the last year, over 4% of all preschoolers, which is over 1 million children in America, are on some type of mental drug for either depression or some kind of mental instability. And it's growing, they say, almost exponentially. So, with our children, we want to teach them the Christian character quality of stability and a sound mind. We do not. This world is so full of fears. It seems like the more hospitals we have, the more that science learns, the more people live in fear. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, grown people. In my sales lot, I have grown people come onto my lot, and if they see a bee, they'll actually run shrieking to their car in fear. It's just a bee. I mean, even if you get stung, okay, it hurts. But this world is just. There's just a lack of stability and soundness in their mind. And what a treasure you are doing for your children. What a value if you're instilling in them something as simple as stability and a sound mind. God is our hope in these things. The very next verse here, by the way, in Psalm 42 says this. Verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. And what's that saying is, the best way when your soul is disquieted and your mind doesn't seem to be working right is to remember who God is. You know, we have that advantage. We can teach our children to think about God. The world cannot think about God, except perhaps in fear, I don't know. But your children can be taught to think about God. Okay, the next Christian character quality I want to look at for a minute here, and again comparing and contrasting it with the world a little bit, is God reliance. God reliance. Psalm 55, 2. Yes, Psalm 55:22 says, Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And then in the New Testament, let's go over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. What both of these verses are saying is that the Christian, the person in the kingdom of God, recognizes that we are totally dependent upon God. That our reliance upon life and breath and our spiritual hope is in God. And I believe that's a Christian character quality, to understand that and to be at peace at that in our heart. Jesus Christ makes a very bold statement in John 15:5 when he's talking, giving his lesson there about the vine and the fruit. He says actually a shocking thing. He says, without me, ye can do what? Nothing. Isn't that a shocking statement? I mean, is that the American? Now see, we're going to compare this with the world. What is the American idea? You know, the American idea is so funny. People in America are very interesting. We swing from the two opposite extremes in the world. In many ways, Americans like to think of themselves as what? Self-reliant. People are proud that they're a self-made man. They've pulled themselves up from the bootstrap. You know, there's all these sayings about America. But we're also a country, for all the money we have, for all the wealth we have, more people are on welfare per capita for the money we have than almost any other country. Because Americans also love a free handout. You know, America is a very interesting country. If you just look at statistics, we're a strange country. You know, because the world, instead of being God-reliant, goes from the extreme of thinking they can do anything for themselves to asking the government to feed them with food stamps. And you know, both of those extremes are wrong, and they're wrong thinking. We want to find our balance and our character, and this Christian character of God reliance does not make us lazy. It does not make us proud of ourselves. It makes us thankful unto God, doesn't it? It creates in us a sense of thankfulness, which leads to joy, by the way. These are all important things that your children are going to see in this world that are going to be strange and don't seem to make sense. And we need to teach them the stability of thinking things through from a biblical and godly perspective. Okay, the next one that I want to touch on for a few minutes is we want to teach our children the Christian quality or character of honoring authorities in civil areas. Honoring authorities in civil areas. Go to Romans chapter 13, verse 7, for those of you that are turning in your Bible. Romans 13, 7 says, "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." And then 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Did you know that biblically you're actually commanded to honor the leaders in the land, your authorities, your civil authorities? We're also commanded them in another place to pray for them. We won't turn there. But you want to teach your children that it is actually a Christian character quality to have honor for the king. And to have honor for civil authorities. You know, we talk a lot about authority in our circles, but we usually talk about it in terms of relationships in the home and in the church. But this one, I believe, is more of a character quality or an attitude, because in daily life, again, in the world we live in America, you're going to see extreme swings in the American public. Again, if we're comparing and contrasting this with the world, we live in a world in America where there's a large group of people who are extremely ultra-patriotic. And a lot of them are, they call themselves the moral majority or the Christian right. Some of them are in Christian circles. And they're ready to go to war. They're ready to kill people. They're ready to become policemen. Whatever it takes, you know, this extreme patriotism. And then they swing all the way to the other side and talk about how much they hate the government and distrust the government, and all politicians are liars. Yesterday at my sales lot, I had a man come in and he bought a garage, and just as he was leaving, you know, he started railing on all politicians, and they're all liars, and McCain's a liar, and Palin's a liar, and Obama's, and just, you know, he just went on for about 10 minutes, and finally when he paused and took a breath, I said, "Well, you know, the Bible says that we need to honor our leaders and pray for them. For me, I don't know all those things, but I know that's the best thing that we can do for them." You know, and of course, he didn't have anything to say after that, and he left. But it's just interesting the extremes that the American public has in these things, as their pendulum seems to swing from ultra-patriotism to, quote, "all politicians are liars." But we need to know how to deal with our civil authorities, how to have respect and honor, because as the days get closer to the time Jesus comes, I believe our civil authorities are going to come after us in many more ways, and we need to be ready to learn how to walk through those things, honoring them where we can honor them, and having that as a character quality, that our reputation in the community is above reproach. Because there's going to be enough accusations come our way anyway. But if our reputation can be above reproach, and in this whole area of Christian homeschooling and reporting to the civil authorities, I've heard stories, even among some of our own people, that I'm actually ashamed of, about, you know, fudging or adding days and, you know, doing things, or, you know, how we're reporting. And, you know, I think we need to honor the king and honor the local school board. They are the king, in a way, of our homeschooling, because we report to them. We have a blessed privilege, as Matthew said, to homeschool. Why mess it up by trying to slip around and dishonor those that are over us? We should rather be thankful that we have this right and this privilege, and we need to have that character of being above reproach in this area. Okay, another area. How long am I supposed to go here? I'm not sure, brother. What's my schedule? Okay, won't be too long. All right, another area of Christian character that I think is important that we can teach in our children in an early age, which again I see as the world comes closer to end times is so important, is unity of the brotherhood. As we get closer to end times, church life is going to become even more important. It's always been important. I don't believe you can be a true Christian in the kingdom of God and be on your own any more than a honeybee can make honey on his own. He needs the rest of the hive, right? And a Christian has to be part of a church, part of a brotherhood. And it's going to become more important to love the brotherhood and to draw together and to trust each other and live for each other and serve each other than ever before. And it needs to be part of the Christian character quality that we put into our children. We need to learn how to have brothers and sisters over, do homeschool things with one another, go on special sings. You know, there's many things practical we could do in that area. But again, you know, as I look at the world, comparing and contrasting the world in this area, in America today, it seems that the world in this area of unity and fellowship and all that is, again, it seems to me to be strangely at two extremes. We live in a world in America where people build all these nice homes in neighborhoods, and most of them don't even know the names of their neighbors. And yet, we also live in an America where people are so starving to get together, they'll do anything. They'll even, young people in big cities are joining gangs today at a faster rate than ever in our history. And you would think, gangs? Why would anybody join such a horrible thing? They can hardly start enough new gangs in the big cities to take care of all the young people that want to join a gang, because they want that sense of belonging. And yet the neighborhood they grew up in, they didn't even know the name of their neighbor. Again, America, to me, it's a strange mix. But we want to teach our children the quality to love the brotherhood, to be unified as these days come. And we need to teach the right and proper balance of these things in our own hearts and our own lives. Okay, another Christian character quality, and I believe these are character qualities, it's how, I'm not talking about just witnessing or maybe not even witnessing so much, but how to relate to outsiders, how to relate to people that are not in the church, how to relate to strangers, how to relate to those that are not among our church circle. We're already in 1 Peter. Let's look at verses 11. Start at verse 11 here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Did you know you actually have a duty in your character quality of how you act to show forth honesty and goodness to the Gentiles? Here, what he's talking about is to those that are outside the church, those that are not saved. That you actually have a responsibility not to just witness to them, and amen, you need to do that, but to actually live a life that is an example to them, that by your life, they'll know there's something different. And that's how we're to relate to strangers. The world, again, is very bizarre in the way the world understands dealing with strangers or people we don't know. The world has two extremes. On the one hand, the world teaches never talk to strangers, all strangers are bad, all strangers are potential criminals. On the other scale of the spectrum, the same spectrum, the world teaches that all people are good, all people have a right to an opinion, and all opinions are equally good. But you need to teach your children, that's not true. Our thinking is the Bible in every area of life. You know? And not all opinions are not all equal. They're not all good. So we need to learn to teach our children how to relate to this world. Because in this world, they're going to meet people that have opinions that are miles apart, seemingly, and yet they're both outsiders. They're both people that are not Christian. How are they to walk through all those things? We need to help our children walk through all those things. I remember a few years ago, one of our we were at the sales lot on a Saturday, and one of our children, one of our sons, was I think about 10 or 11. We were pretty busy at the sales lot there that particular day, and this man was buying a gazebo, and we went back and forth for about an hour, and my son was there, and several different times he answered a few questions or ran and got something and got the man a drink and asked different questions and just relating there together with him being there. And at the end of the time, he said, "Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, I'm going to buy the gazebo, but what I really want to know is how did your son get to be that way? You know, In fact, you're going to think I'm silly, but I'd really like to adopt him. I didn't know children could be that way anymore. He was an older gentleman. He said, I thought that's just the way it used to be 50 years ago. I didn't know it could still be done. And what he was saying without saying it was this. Whereas they speak against you, even as they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God. And then, of course, we gave the credit to God and all this sort of stuff. But the point is, he had to behold the character of a 10-year-old to actually be shocked into thinking, you mean it's still possible to raise a nice, polite, you know, child. He'd actually, I guess, given up the whole idea. I mean, he was in a state of shock the whole time that he was there, the rest of the time. He couldn't stop talking about it. And our children are very important in how they witness by their good works, which I believe what I'm saying here is your Christian character that's in their life. Okay. Teach your children... here's a good character quality. Teach your children how to handle fear. You know, the world doesn't know how to handle fear. The world, it seems like, is afraid of lightning and thunderstorms. Grown adults will jump and tremble in fear. But then also grown adults will go bungee jumping off of bridges. We're a strange country. America's a strange culture. And our children do need to understand fear. We need to have a fear of God, don't we? There are things that the Christians need to understand fear, but how to relate to those things and how to deal with those things. The Bible says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Our fear is not from the things of this world. We need to teach our children the Christian character quality. I remember, I'll give you this example. I know exactly where I was and what I was doing on September the 11th in 2001. How many people here know exactly what they were doing the morning of September the 11th, 2001? What happened on that day? What happened on that day? Right. The attack on the Twin Towers there, and on the DC as well, the Pentagon. My wife, I didn't have my cell phone with me, and she didn't have her cell phone with her. We met up that day at about 1 o'clock, and she said, you know, I had the strangest experience. I was at the, there's a craft thing here on 322 in Blue Ball, just past the intersection on the left, whatever the name of that place is there. Some of you ladies might know. But anyway, she was in there. They sell fake flowers and crafts and stuff in there. And she said they had the radio going. And all of a sudden, the radio stopped and an announcement came on. So we have an emergency bulletin. The United States is under attack. The Twin Towers, the first one was hit so many minutes ago. The second one has just fallen. And we're thinking that the United States must be under attack or we're not sure what's going on. She said the moment that the bulletin went over, she said in the store was three or four ladies that were worldly ladies and three or four ladies that were from a Mennonite background. The worldly ladies started screaming. She said all three or four of them started screaming and crying and wailing and running around in circles. The Mennonite ladies held hands and prayed. You see the difference in how to handle fear? You know, what a testimony those three or four Mennonite ladies were. Now, she didn't know those ladies. She just observed that and she showed me and I just thought, what a difference. You know, what a difference. How the world handles fear, because it is a fearful thing to have buildings exploded and, what was it, 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people. That is a fearful thing. That makes my heart tremble to think that that happened. But what do you do with that trembling heart? You know, what is your response to those things? What is your character? Because see, when life happens, the real character of who you are comes out. You know, when you're put in the squeeze of life, that's when you find out who you are. And that's why I say this is a goal for your children is when I started off the day by saying, what is the goal for your children? Instilling in them Christian character will affect them for the big things of life, for the 9/11s, and it'll affect them for the everyday decisions of how they handle their business, their life, their church life, their finances, and so on and so forth. You know, one other Christian character, and I'll finish with this one and then wrap it up, that's already sort of been mentioned, but I just want to emphasize it as a Christian. I believe it is a Christian character quality that is essential. Let me read this verse. I'll read two verses to you from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. The Bible says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity." I believe a Christian character quality is to have a love of instruction and study. I believe it is a Christian character quality to love study and instruction, and to develop the Christian character quality of teaching and writing. We have a dearth in the land, I believe, of godly Christian teaching and writing, godly songwriting. But those things cannot be done if you haven't learned to read and write properly. If you don't have a love for studying and understanding meter and rhyme and poetry and all that to write a song, I don't think you're just going to blurt it out because you kind of think you want to. It takes some study and some thinking. And so, if you want to write a book, to write down some of your thoughts about God, you're not going to be able to just kind of slosh it down there. You need to learn how to study, and you need to learn grammar and how to communicate effectively and to make your point in an orderly way. And as Christians, we have a duty to this and further generations. I am so thankful. Some of the things I read in my library, my Christian library, were written hundreds of years ago. Hundreds of years ago. I am so thankful. I mean, how many people here have read Pilgrim's Progress? Okay, that was written by a tinker. I mean, basically, the guy just fixed junk. You know, I mean, pots and pans and whatever. But before that, he was a soldier. But you read that and you think, oh, this guy's like a college professor. He wasn't. But he was educated in that he loved study and he understood poetry and rhyme and allegory and how to think through the Bible and then put it into an effective way of communicating it. That even today, the book, The Pilgrim's Progress, is the second most read book in the world. Even today, and it was written 1700s, what is it? I forget. I think it was the 1600s, but somebody can look that up for me, some of you homeschool people, but I think it was the 1600s. But the point is this, we need more John Bunyans. We need more books written like that, because that thing has blessed millions and millions and millions of Christians. And we should, as with our beliefs, there are things that God is doing among us that need to be recorded, and they need to be written down and put in books. Where are the writers going to come from unless there's this Christian character quality of study? Did you hear the verse here in Proverbs? To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. It's actually a desire of God that you learn how to perceive and receive wisdom and instruction. And that is a character quality God wants you to have, and that you must have to pass on your faith to future generations, be it in written word, in teaching, or in songs. Someone once said, well, consider the importance of character in the life of two Old Testament heroes, Samson and Caleb. Samson was the strongest man who ever lived, but his character was one of the weakest of all the heroes of the Old Testament, wasn't it? And look how it ended him. Caleb, I don't think he was noted for being physically strong until when? His character proved who he was, and then God gave him the strength of a 40-year-old man, even though he was 80. So his strength came as a result of his character. Samson had the strength and lost it as a result of his character. You know, there's many, many illustrations like that in the Bible. And I just want to encourage you that as you think about what are your goals, use homeschool to instill and put into your children in the forge of life of homeschooling these Christian character qualities that I've mentioned. There are dozens of others, and they're all important. They're all important. So I just want to encourage you with those things and give you those things to ponder here as we wrap up here this afternoon. God bless you. I know you've heard a lot. I was talking to somebody right before I came up here, And I said, you know, I've been here a couple hours this afternoon. I heard Myron's message and Matthew's, and I said, I'm really encouraged. And I've been doing this 22, 23 years. But I said, those of us that have been around for a while, we need shoring up too, and we need encouragement and inspiration. And I know that was one of the goals of this, was to try to inspire you, encourage you, challenge you. And maybe also I'd give you this directive. Try to inspire and challenge some others who maybe weren't here. Try to be an ambassador, because it's not just about homeschooling. It's about life. It's about, this is an important part of the Christian life, is educating, training, discipling our children. So may God bless you. And I guess, Myron, you have some things you want to wrap up here, so I'll turn the time back over to Brother Myron. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.